I have a thought I just want to share with you tonight that I will entitle The Fruitful Grain of Wheat. The Fruitful Grain of Wheat. The Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 20, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, it says this: Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. So they want to see Jesus, okay? And then everything is going to follow after that. They come inquiring about Christ. Philip came to and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. And look at Jesus' response. But Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. It says, Now my soul, and this is Jesus talking, he says, Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. A fruitful grain of wheat. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. And then Jesus starts to talk about the cross and his death on the cross. And notice they came to Philip and Andrew, Jesus' followers, Jesus' disciples. Just like humankind looks to you and I as the church of Jesus Christ, because they want to see him. They want to know him. They want to know if he's real or not. Is God alive or not? Is this Savior able to save me and deliver me or not? Jesus answers them saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And so he starts to speak. Notice he starts to speak of his death on the cross as a means to glorification, to glory, coming to God. So death leads to glory. Death points to glory. It leads to glory. It leads to God being glorified, the Son of Man being exalted, the Son of Man being glorified. The Son of Man should be glorified. The hour has come that the Son should be glorified. Speaking of his death on the cross. And then Jesus likens himself to a grain of wheat. He says, Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies. Now we know when a seed, any kind of seed for a plant is put in the ground, it dies. It goes into this dark period where it begins to die, it begins to decay, it begins to decompose, if you will. Okay, the outward shell begins to break up, decompose. But then, suddenly, over time, a little shoot comes out of the ground, right? Yes. A little shoot comes out of the ground. And this decaying grain of wheat speaks, obviously, of Christ going into the grave. But then 3 days later, he would rise again out of the ground. Suddenly, there would be life out of that death. Out of that death on the cross, there would come resurrection life. Are you with me tonight? So here's this little shoot that speaks of the resurrection life of Jesus that comes. But then it doesn't end there. Out of that little shoot comes fruit. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. It produces much fruit. speaking of out of his resurrection life, his death, and then his resurrection, there would be born a church, the bride of Christ, made up of Jew and Gentile, you and I, hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight? Hallelujah. And then it says, if it dies, it produces much grain. So we see for there to be fruit, there has to be a death. Are you with me tonight? Before there can be fruit, there has to be death. Before a grain of wheat can produce much grain, it has to die. But then much grain comes out as a result. And we know that Christ was raised from the grave through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? The power of the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the grave. Raised him from the grave. God used his Holy Spirit to raise him from the grave. And the Romans 8 tells us the same Spirit lives in us. And if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and I, he will quicken our mortal bodies. He will produce life in us. Resurrection life. Hallelujah. So that we are no longer the same. Suddenly we find ourselves infused with a heavenly life. Eternal life. Praise the living God. A life that glorifies God. A life that is not like this world, if you will. A life that is no longer under the power of death, that is no longer subject to death. A life that Christ alone is able to give, that points to him and brings glory and honor to him, and that furthers his purposes and his plan and his kingdom and his glory, both now and forever. Hallelujah. Verse 25 says, he who loves his life will lose it. So he who seeks to hold on to his earthly life, the natural life, the here and now, if you will, who seeks to hold on to this life, who seeks to hold on to the counsel of man, who seeks to hold on to the corrupt life here on earth, the sinful life, will lose his life, will lose the resurrection life, the heavenly life that God promises. The eternal life. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What's that mean? He who hates his life. Who, in other words, he who has the attitude that I'm not living for this life. I'm living for God. I'm living for his purposes. See, because they've been changed from the inside out. There's a song, an old song we used to sing that says, Jesus on the inside. Working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Hallelujah. It's an attitude that says, I'm not living for this life anymore. I'm living for Jesus. I'm living for Jesus. And Romans tells us that in chapter 8. It also goes on to tell us that he saved us so that we would not live for ourselves, but for the one who died and raised us to new life. Hallelujah. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. The Bible also tells us that I am crucified with Christ. So that is my standing before God. That is my state. I am crucified. It's already done. I am crucified with Christ. So it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so every day, the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. By faith in the Son of God. Every day, the just shall live by faith. Every day, every hour, I live by faith in the Son of God. And so suddenly, there's a new life, a heavenly life, a resurrection life, a supernatural life that begins to take control. The Holy Spirit begins to take control of me. So I am no longer the same. So suddenly now fruit is born in my life. Fruit is born, the fruit of the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is born in my life. Are you with me tonight? Folks, this is supernatural life. It's not. It's more than me just saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to witness. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to. Do you hear the problem there? Yes. The problem is I. And see, I has to die. I has to die. Folks, this is a supernatural life. And so it cannot be obtained, maintained, birthed, or sustained, or advanced by carnal means. The Bible says that which is of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You and I must be born again of the Spirit. And when we are born again of the Spirit, it's a supernatural work, a transforming work that takes place. So suddenly, I come into this life, this Christian life, and Christ now begins to live this life through me. So my life has changed. It's supernatural, folks. It's more than just some dead, boring, dry religion. I'm not talking about religion tonight. I'm talking about a relationship with the living God, an encounter with God that literally transforms you. So you are no longer the same person. So I has to die. That's what it means to die daily. What's that look like? What does that look like? That means you and I, every day we get up and we say, God, I can't do this in my own strength. I can't live this life on my own. I need you. Thank you for yesterday's victories. But today, I refuse to leave my house to face this day without you. So help me today, God, to live right. Help me to talk right. Help me to walk right. Help me to see right. Help me to see things from heaven's perspective and not just in the natural. Help me to see you on the throne. Help me to know that I am seated with Christ in heavenly places and that this is no longer my home. It's incredible as you read this scripture how you see this back and forth between death and life. The Son of Man should be glorified. A grain of wheat dies, but then it produces much fruit. He who hates his life in this world will keep it in eternal life. In verse 25, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Right? So, of course, he was talking literally in the beginning about his death and resurrection, how he would die for us. But then he begins to talk about following his example. So then it goes from not just his death, his sacrificial death for us, but then it begins to talk on a practical level what this dying for you and I looks like. When we begin to follow him, when we begin to trust in God to raise us to new life, in other words. Where I am, there my servant will be also. So we learn from him and then we begin to follow his example. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. In other words, him my Father will too raise up and glorify. But folks, it's a struggle at times, isn't it? And the struggle is real. And the wonderful, amazing thing is that we serve a God who's not just in heaven, totally aloof to our battle and struggle from day to day. He understands our frailties, our weaknesses, our struggles, our battles. And it proves that to us right here in verse 27 when he says, "Now my soul is troubled." He stands before this death, the cross, and he says, "Now my soul is troubled." There's a battle going on within, a struggle. And the struggle is real. And he went through that so that you and I could identify with him and he could identify with us. We have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He said, "My soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour." And then he says, "Father, glorify your name." In other words, "God, Father, help me. Help me, Lord. I can't do this on my own. I need your help." He exemplified the struggle, but yet the cry, the means to the solution. "Father, glorify your name." And what did the Father say? "Okay, I'm going to help you." He is a very present help in our time of need. A voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And so, yes, the Lord has been your help before, but he didn't bring you this far to leave you. He's going to take you into the promised land. He's going to finish the good work he began in you, because faithful is he who calls you. He's not going to abandon you now at the moment you need him the most. Are you with me tonight? He is going to help you. He's not a respecter of persons. If he helped his son, who is the head, how is he not going to help the body? Which is you and I. The head has already crossed the finish line. The head is already in glory, folks. The body is soon to follow, and that's you and I. And so he's going to finish what he started. And so tonight, if you need help, if you feel like you're dying, you're in a good place. Because fruitfulness is ahead. I said fruitfulness is ahead. If you feel like, "God, I can't take this anymore. I'm dying, God. You're killing me here." Yes, that's the objective. Listen, folks, the objective is to kill what our founding pastor David Wilkerson used to call the can-do man. The can-do man. "I can do this. I got this. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to win people for Jesus. I'm going to. Well, God's trying to kill I. The can-do man. "I can do this." That's what he's after. He's trying to kill that can-do man. So that is, folks, so that it's, "I can do all things through Christ." Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. "I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. He must increase, and we must decrease. Amen.